And in Psalm 90, beginning in verse 12, we read, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Psalm 90, 12. It says, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." The psalmist asks for God's guidance and instruction so that we can make the best of our time here on earth. And that's what it boils down to, making the best of our time here on earth. On the board, this is known as a timeline. This is the start. This is the finish. As you look at that timeline, you got to ask yourself, where are you in regards to that timeline in your life, in your number of days? Nobody knows the exact number of days that they have to live. See? If I take this mustard, on the back of the mustard, there's date. This date tells you when it expires, and you shouldn't use it past this date. This particular mustard is good to the 28th of January 2011. That means it expired. Okay? So after 2011, the month of January, this mustard done. Let's see, if we were to look on each of your collars, we can't see that type of line, right? You don't have an expiration date. If you did, you know how long you were going to live. But you do know that you're getting older. Not one of you in here getting younger. Where are you in relationship to that line in your life? Where are you in relationship to time? In relationship to time. If we take the word time and we look at each letter in that word, you will begin to see that there's a great lesson to be learned. The first letter in the word time is the letter T. Of the four letters in that word, the first is the letter T. And we need to learn how to treasure our time here on earth. God says that we should treasure time as a valuable commodity. We number our years and birthdays. But God says that every day is precious, so precious that we should treasure it and we should number it. To realize the value of 1 year, ask the student who failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. How valuable is an hour? Ask a businessman whose flight was delayed for an hour and he missed an important business deal. How valuable is a minute? Ask the man who had a heart attack in the restaurant and an EMT happened to be sitting at the next table, performed CPR and saved his life. How valuable is a second? Ask the person who barely missed a head-on collision. How valuable is a millisecond? Ask an Olympic swimmer who missed qualifying by 6/10. Time is really valuable. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to learn a couple things about time and what it means for you in your life. We need to learn to treasure every moment that we have. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. You can make more money, but you can never make more time. Have you ever heard the expression, time is money? That's not exactly true. Time is much more valuable than money. It may be hard to make more money, but it can be done. But it's totally impossible to make more time. Time is more valuable than money ever will be. There's a man called A.W. Tozer. He writes daily devotionals, has a ministry, and so forth. And he wrote with regards to the subject of time. He said, time is a resource that is non-renewable, non-transferable. You cannot store it, slow it down, hold it up, divide it up, or give it up. You cannot hoard it or save it for a rainy day, and when it's lost, it's unrecoverable. When you kill time, remember that there is no resurrection of it. So we should learn to treasure our time that we have here on earth. The next letter in the word time is the letter I. With our treasured time, we should learn how to invest it. Learn how to invest it. We use a lot of phrases with time that aren't really possible. We say, you can buy more time. Or, let me find more time. Or, we're going to make more time. But this too is impossible. There's only 168 hours in a week, and this figure has never varied. You can't save time, you can only invest it. Time is more valuable than money, but like money, it can be spent or it can be invested. It's different from money, though, because while money can be saved, time can never be saved. If you don't use it, you lose it forever. In the early 1970s, there was a songwriter, one of my favorites. His name was Jim Croce. And he wrote a song, and the song was entitled, Time in a Bottle. If I could save time in a bottle. Some of the lyrics went, if I could save time in a bottle, the first thing I like to do is save every day till eternity passed away just to spend them with you. Great lyrics. And it would be nice if we could save time, but you can't. In fact, a few months after he wrote the song, he was tragically prematurely killed in a plane crash in Louisiana at the age of 30. He never got to save his time. We have all kinds of time-saving appliances in our modern technological world. We have microwave ovens, which save us time on cooking and preparing meals. Guys love to take shortcuts in order to save time. Show me the time you saved. Where is it? What bank do you keep it in? You can't save time. You can only invest it or spend it. At graduation commencement at his alma mater, Wheaton College, Billy Graham said, time is the capital that God has given us to invest. People are the stock in which we are to invest our time, whether they be blue chip, penny, or even junk bonds. Where you invest your time will reveal what's important to you. Of the 168 hours a week, the average person will spend about 56 of those hours sleeping, about 24 eating and personal hygiene, about 50 working and traveling to work. That means there's only 35 hours a week of discretionary time left over. That's about 5 hours a day. Where are you investing that leftover discretionary 5 hours a day? If I were to follow you around and observe you for these 5 hours a day, after about 2 weeks, I could tell you what's most important to you in your life. You may not like it, you may not agree with it, but for some of you, surfing the internet is most important to you. For others, it's watching TV. For others, it's reading magazines or working that's most important to you? How much of this discretionary time are you devoting to your Lord? How much are you devoting to your family? A study at University of Michigan of 1,500 households found that working mothers outside the home spend an average of 11 minutes a day on the weekends and 30 minutes a day, or 11 minutes a day on the weekdays and 30 minutes a day on the weekends with the children, not including meals. So that's 11 minutes a day and 30 minutes a day on the weekends. That's not including meals. Fathers spend an average of 8 minutes a day on weekdays with their children and 14 minutes a day on weekends in different activities. That's not a whole bunch of time. Have you ever heard some mother or father say, "I don't get to spend much time with my family, but the little time I do spend with them is quality time"? This isn't really such a good phrase if you get to think about it, because many times this phrase is just an excuse for not spending time together. Quality time is really a misnomer, because all time has the same quality. It's all how you decide to invest it or steward it. Time is time. Think about this second now. Now think about this second over here. They're the same. No difference. How you determine to invest it, how you determine to steward it, how you determine to spend it is what the difference is. It's like a $5 bill. $5 bill is a $5 bill. There's no quality in and of the $5 bill of itself. It's all how you decide to spend or invest the $5 bill. It's the same. God, family, friends, work, and play, if they're important, you'll indicate it by the amount of discretionary time you give them. The next letter in the word time is the word M. It's the word M. And the word M means manage. We are to treasure our time, we are to invest our time, and we are to manage our time. And I have to call my lovely assistant up, Nicole. My family thinks I'm nuts. So, in front of you, you have a container. Now, would you be so kind as to be very careful and place those rocks in that container till it's full? Gently, don't drop them. Thank you. And for the sake of the tape, I have an empty container in which Nikki is placing large rocks into right now. That's a girl. You're doing a great job. Okay, is the container full? Thank you. Give her a hand. It was overfilling. Is the container full?
Yes.
Right? Now, if I filled it up with these, would the container be full?
No.
No. Now, if I filled it up with this, would the container be full? All the way up to the top. What's the point? Huh? Yeah, what else? What's the moral of the story?
Of
The moral of the story is that unless you put the big rocks in first, they will never fit in. You must figure out what your big rocks are. What are the big rocks in your life? Giving time to God, giving time to your marriage, giving time to your children. If you don't put the big rocks in first, someone else will be glad to fill up your jar with something else. You understand? It's only so much space in the jar. It's how you decide to steward it. It's how you decide to manage it. What's important to you? What are your priorities? Every moment is a gift from God. And you must manage your moment, your time, your life wisely. Wasn't that the psalm? He prayed that, teach us to number our days so that our hearts may obtain them the wisdom. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah 2. Look at verse 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments? Or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Days without number. And unless you learn to manage your time, you will find yourself in the position of Jeremiah 2:32, days without number. But actually, time management is a misleading concept. You can't really manage time. You can't delay it. You can't speed it up. You can't save it. And you can't lose it. There are no rollover minutes at the end of the day. 24 hours, that's it. No matter what you do, time keeps moving forward at the same rate. The challenge is not to manage time. The challenge is to manage ourselves and be good stewards of our time. The Bible uses another word. Instead of managing your time, it speaks of redeeming the time. And that's even a better idea. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians 5, verse 14, this is Ephesians, the greatest revelation ever penned to the church. And look what he has to address. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee what? He's talking to the ones that are walking on the word, and yet of some of them, he's telling them, what do they got to do? Wake up. Stop sleeping. Wake up. See, verse 15, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? Wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The phrase walk circumspectly in verse 15 means to be constantly looking around to make the most of every opportunity. To be constantly looking around to make the most of every opportunity. There was a football running back whose name was Emmett Smith. I'm not a football player, nor do I know much about them. But once in a while, I read about someone that's extraordinary in his field. And supposedly, Emmett Smith was. And he wasn't extraordinary because he was the biggest, the fastest, or the strongest. What he excelled at was running with his eyes open. And he was one of the best at seeing holes, where they were going to be, and running through them. That's the way we should live. We should live with looking for every opportunity to invest our time wisely and then running to it. When an opportunity passes, it can never be reclaimed. It's gone forever. That's what it means to live redeeming the time. If you don't manage your time, someone else will manage it for you. You can't save time. You can't even waste time. You're going to spend it somewhere or invest it in someone. You don't control your schedule. Someone will be happy to control it for you or something. Some people complain they just don't have enough time to spend with their families. You have exactly the same amount of time as everyone else does. Even the people that have enough time to spend with their families. They got 24 hours a day, and so do you. So it's not in the amount of time you have. You just haven't learned how to manage your time wisely. Or you haven't learned how to manage yourself wisely. Again, that was the prayer of the psalmist. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, that we may have a heart of wisdom, that our hearts would obtain, reach wisdom, so we could make right decisions according to God's word applied. Next to God, the most important time that you'll ever invest is time with your family. I also liked the singer-songwriter, Harry Chapin. You can go on the internet and listen to some of his songs. He sung ballads like Jim Croce did. And he sung a song named The Cat's in the Cradle. And some of the song goes, "My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. He was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he said, 'I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you.'" And the song goes on, and the next verse says, "My son just turned 10 the other day. He said, 'Thanks for the ball, Dad. Now let's play.' 'Can you teach me to throw?' I said, 'Not today. I've got a lot to do.' And he said, 'That's okay.' And he walked away, and he smiled and said, 'You know, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you.'" You get to the final verse of the song, which is just this kid growing up and his dad making promises all these times. It says, "I've long since the time my son's moved away. I've called him up just the other day. I said, 'I'd like to see you if you don't mind.' He said, 'I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been real nice talking to you.' And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me." Maybe you haven't heard the song, but here's the rest of the story. Harry Chapin's wife, Sandy, actually wrote the words to the song after their son, Josh, was born. Sadly enough, it became a self-fulfilling prophecy, because when their son was 7, Harry was performing over 200 concerts a year. Sandy asked him when he was going to take some time to spend with his son. Harry promised to take some time at the end of that summer, but he never made it, because that summer a truck hit Harry's Volkswagen and he was killed. You have to learn to manage your time, because tomorrow is promised to no one. If you don't, someone will manage it for you. The last letter in our timeline is the word E. We treasure our time, we invest it wisely, and we manage it and steward it properly so it doesn't manage us. And then what we want to do is we want to enjoy our time that we have here on the earth. The time you spend with God and your family should be enjoyable. You shouldn't be fighting and arguing with God or your family. It should be the best time of your life. And in order for you to be able to accomplish this in your life, you're going to have to learn a few things. And one of the first things you're going to have to learn is you're going to have to learn how to say no. N-O. You're going to have to learn how to say no. There will always be something else to do. There will always be somewhere else you can go. But if you're going to make spending time with God and your family a priority, you're going to have to learn the power of the little two-letter word, no. But many moms and dads allow interruptions and other demands to distract from their family time and from their time at church, from their time with God. You know, 1,000 years from now, what's going to be more important? Spending time with God, with your family, or watching some television show? I have never heard it penned in any paper or periodical that on the deathbed someone has ever said, "I wished I spent more time at work." Our kids are only going to be with us for a few short years. So we have to learn how to make the most of our time with them. Look at James chapter 4. James 4, verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then what? Vanishes away. You don't know. And like I said, tomorrow's promised to no one. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. So here you go. Where are you on this timeline? And how do you want to finish? Do you want to finish your course saying, "I've ran my course well, I fought the good fight, now is laid up for me rewards"? Is that what you want? Or are you going to allow the devil to deceive you, trick you, and direct you on how you spend your life and time? And when you reach the end, you won't be able to make that confession, and he will have robbed you from all eternity and those rewards that you could have amassed and enjoyed in all eternity. A choice is yours. In Hebrews 10, verse 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Let us draw near with a true heart. The word "true" in that verse comes from the Greek word that means that which has not only the same in resemblance, but the real nature corresponding to the name. In every aspect, in every respect, corresponding to the idea signified by the name of Jesus Christ, to be a Christian, a true heart. We just don't want to resemble a Christian. We don't want to resemble God's word in us. We don't want to resemble our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to just look like it, but we want to not have that resemblance, but we want to have the real nature corresponding to the name. In other words, you're not a phony, you're not a fake. You don't hide behind cliches and how much Bible you know. It's the real you. Ever see that show years ago, To Tell the Truth, where the real you please stand up? And you get these guys that come in and lie, and then they had to guess the real one. See? It's a great word. Let us draw near with a true heart, a true heart. Put off the junk. Put off the fear, put off the lies, put off the excuses. Draw near with a true heart. If you're going to do it, then do it, because that's when it's going to benefit you. Let us hold fast, verse 23, to the profession of our faith without wavering. We heard this in manifestations earlier. For he is faithful that promised. And that's what it boils down to. Are you being faithful? Are you being faithful in your call? Are you being faithful in your calling? Are you being faithful in what God has given you to do? We are to hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and what? Good works. How are we going to do that? Verse 25. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. You can't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Iron sharpeneth iron. You need fellowship. You need to be encouraged in the Word. You need to be brought back into the Word, because the world will do nothing but suck it out of you. The world will do nothing but take up your time. The world will do nothing but direct you away from God. That's why you need to have the ministries available to you to encourage you to get back on the Word. Back on the Word. Come back to the Word. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Instead of pulling back from God's Word as you're going longer around that timeline to the final destination, to the return of Christ, or to your termination, the Word of God says, and so much the more. You should be desirous more to attend fellowship. I didn't say this fellowship, I just said fellowship. Anywhere you're being fed, where the Word is being taught to you. You should be desirous more to fellowship together with like-minded believers. You should get up in the morning and say, who can I bless? Where can I go? How can I get together? Because the day's getting closer. We should be wanting to do this more. But you know what a lot of Christians do? This is what a lot of Christians, they buy into the lie, into the trick. Well, I'm getting older now. I better take that vacation. I better take it easy. I better do this. I better do that, because I'm not going to have the time to do such and such. And all this, it all detracts from God. God doesn't care about your vacation. God wants you to have a vacation. And God wants you to be able to do such and such. But not when it takes away from Him, because then your priorities are all backwards. They're all backwards. We should be looking to get together more. We should be looking to fellowship more. We should be looking to bless one another more. That doesn't mean you have to have a meeting like this all the time. Sometimes it's just coming over, sharing a hamburger. Sometimes it's just playing a game. But you're fellowshipping together. You understand? That's how you get rid of church, religion out of church. Verse 14 says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfastly unto the end. I really like the New Living. It translates it as thus, Hebrews 3:14. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God, just as firmly as when we were first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God, just as firmly as when we first believed. You remember back when you first believed? Remember back when you were first on fire for God? How you couldn't shut up about Jesus, how you told everybody that walked, and even those that didn't walk, went into the graveyard, tried to raise them up and tell them about God, about Jesus. Do you remember how excited you were? That's what he's talking about. We will share in all that belongs to Christ. Don't let the devil rob you out of your full reward. Don't let him steal away those things that are yours. Don't let the devil deceive you and convince you to invest your life and your time into his agenda, no matter how good it looks. As the psalmist prayed, teach us how to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let us take a lesson from time. Let us learn to treasure our time together and with God, and that we invest it wisely in the things of God, in investments that will pay off in eternity, where rust and moth does not creep in and thieves come in and steal away. Let's learn to manage the time, 24 hours a day, that God has given to every man, and not let it manage us. Let us learn how to manage our lives, how to manage our time, how to be stewards of the gift of time that God has given us. And then let us learn to enjoy it. Let us learn to enjoy our God, this life that he's given us, our family. Let us learn to enjoy the fellowship of one another. For in doing this, we will fulfill the will of God and redeem the days and redeem the time and walk circumspectly. And if we've been asleep in this area, then God's word to you is, wake up, thou that sleepest, and do it the right way. So, Father, I thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to be awakened from your word. And, Father, we thank you that we can treasure our time, invest it wisely, manage it correctly, and enjoy your love throughout all eternity. We thank you for this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.